Those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
Welcome to the 14th episode of Babes of Wonderland. I'm one of your hosts, Ashley Hay.
And I'm your other host, Laurel Deneen. Welcome back.
Yes.
If you're just listening to Babes of Wonderland for the first time, what we like to do is on each episode, we'll discuss a different Disney film and then give you maybe the history of that film before correlating some of the themes to other properties, social issues, maybe something in pop culture. Yep. And this week we're discussing Moana. So we were so excited. We have mentioned it several times in this podcast before that it's been coming out. Now it's out.
Yep.
So we wanted to give you guys our take on it. Yes. As it's still in the theaters.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you haven't seen it, go see it. There's probably going to be spoilers in this.
Oh, yes. So. Definitely. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
If you've not seen the movie and do not want to be spoiled, please press pause now.
Yes. Please come back to this after you've seen it. This is the 56th Disney animated feature film, and it was directed by Ron Clements and John Muscarin. They also did Aladdin, Hercules,
Princess and the Frog.
They did The Little Mermaid too.
We'll forgive them for that.
Just this time.
Yes. They did some other great ones, so some right. of my favorites. So.
Yes.
Definitely. And then the film features music by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who we all know from the smash hit Hamilton on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
He has some amazing music in this, which we'll talk about a little later. And then he worked with Obataya Ifoe and Mark Mancina.
Yes.
Obataya is obviously a native Polynesian.
Yep.
And he brought that background to the writing. And then Mark Mancina, I believe, worked on films such as The Lion King.
Sure.
With music. So
he has
some good backup with him on top of being Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Well, right. I mean, Lin-Manuel right now can do no wrong.
No.
I mean,
he can do whatever he wants right now.
Yeah, he's doing so well, and I'm so happy for him.
Mm-hmm.
I still have to watch the new Drunk History, which is all about Hamilton.
Yes, I totally want to see that.
And he was just on SNL. Anyways. We love Lin-Manuel.
Yes.
So if you haven't heard of this, I don't know where you've been if you're a Disney fan, but the voices are Dwayne Johnson as Maui.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you pronounce her name?
Alui Cavajo.
There you go. I knew you'd know.
she's Moana.
Moana, yeah. She's a younger, she has some Polynesian descent. She's a good mix of a lot of different ethnic groups, but she's
from Hawaii.
She's from Hawaii. Yeah. She's a singer, actress,
and she does great in this film.
Yeah,
she totally plays Moana very well.
So Moana takes place. It's before like civilization. Essentially, is kind of
the colonization of the islands and all that. It's still very much a tribal culture. Mm-hmm. They're still discovering the islands.
Yeah.
So,
and the story takes place around Moana, who is called to the sea, and her tribe definitely is very much in the mindset of you can't go beyond the reef. Mm-hmm. We're protected on the island. You stay here. And she just continuously gets called to the water. And you find, if you've seen the trailer, that the water definitely has an attachment to her.
Mm-hmm. The water chooses her for sure.
Yeah. And her grandma.
Her grandma's a great character.
I love her grandma.
She definitely encourages her love of the sea.
Right.
And while she understands that Moana's having to kind of balance herself between her duty to her people, because she is the princess of the tribe. She's the daughter of the chief,
But they don't specify princess.
No, they do not.
No.
In fact, I think Maui calls her princess at one time, and she says that she is not a princess.
Right.
She was very adamant on that. She definitely, the grandmother plays this great role of, you know, encouraging her love and trying to guide her in a way that will help her fulfill what she sees as her granddaughter's destiny.
Right. And her grandma is definitely that character we've kind of seen in Disney movies before, where she's
kind of like Mulan's grandma.
Yeah,
she's kind of a little quirky and funny.
She's kind of the crazy old lady,
mm-hmm.
and she knows she can be, and no one's going to tell her what to do because she's the elder.
Yep.
And she, you know, she's the chief's mother.
Mm-hmm.
So she does what she wants.
Yep.
And she definitely, she's a great character. Mm-hmm. Again, we've seen that character a bit before, but it's always a really good.
And while we've seen that character before, I think that she has a little bit more depth than we've seen before.
Sure.
She plays such an important role, not only guiding her before she kind of goes on her journey,
mm-hmm.
but then when she passes away, she kind of transforms into this spiritual guide.
Mm-hmm.
And she really knows more than people think she does. People kind of treat her like a crazy old lady, but she knows her history and she knows where this tribe comes from.
Mm-hmm.
In a place that, you know, most of the people there have forgotten their history, if not all. Besides her.
Right.
So she really does play an important role despite being that quirky, fun old lady.
Right.
Which she is, totally. But, like, I feel like in Mulan, that grandmother didn't provide a lot story-wise.
As far as
just the comic relief.
She didn't move the story development, really. Mm-hmm. She was there mostly for
a laugh and,
comic relief. And even in the songs, because Laurel mm-hmm. and I have both been listening to the music since we have seen it on Sunday.
Yep.
You know, even her singing, like, mm-hmm. in a lot of the songs is encouraging Moana, while, you know, you need to pay attention to the history and your elders and the people of your tribe,
mm-hmm.
you also have to pay attention to what calls you and what's important to you deep down.
Yep. Which you have to be true to yourself, and despite what everybody thinks you're supposed to do, you have to decide what you're supposed to do.
Right.
You are the only one who can set your own destiny.
Yep.
She's really a strong character, despite her comedic elements.
Right.
I think that's kind of great to have that fully functional character that has so many dimensions to her.
Right. That you can be goofy and wise.
Exactly.
Exactly. Kind of like Merlin from Sword in the Stone.
Definitely. That's a very good comparison. I would not have thought of that one. Yeah. It's a really good one.
Hey, thanks.
You're so welcome. That's why I do a show with you.
Yeah. Hey.
I also love this movie. I love that it's not based on any one legend.
No.
Like, Maui is a demigod or a god.
Yeah.
Or even a human sometimes in Polynesian mythology.
Right.
But Moana is not a character.
No.
So they developed this really strong character with no mention of betrothal.
No.
Or, you know, anything beyond obligation to her people and wanting her and making her strong and really making her work for her kind of happy ending.
Right. Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of times where, like, it's not going to happen for you unless you, you know, woman up and go get it, you know?
Well, so she has to go find Maui to replace the Heartstone in Nefiti.
Mm-hmm.
And Maui stole it, so there's this impression that he's not really that good of a guy. And even when you meet him for the first time, his demeanor is very much, well, you should love me. I've done all these things for you.
Yeah.
And his song is great.
He's very pompous. Oh, his song is great.
It's so good. It's the
epitome
of vanity.
Just called
"You're
Welcome." It is amazing.
It is very good.
And The Rock can sing.
Who knew?
What?
It's.
I was so surprised. It's like, if they can have someone step in for him, is Maui even going to have a song?
Right.
The fact that he can sing was really surprising and quite frankly, not fair.
No, I know.
Because I love him anyway.
Like, you're already perfect.
I don't know why I love him so much, because I hate wrestling, so I never was into him before. But he is just so charismatic mm-hmm. as an actor.
Yeah.
And he's so willing to make fun of himself that I just can't not love that guy.
Well, right. And he was just voted the sexiest man alive. And my favorite thing is, he goes, I mean, being sexy is all good, but I was just really happy to find out that I was alive. So you have, if you know him, he plays this character so perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the really cool things about Maui that I liked was that his tattoos are kind of alive.
Yeah, they're like a tapestry that help tell the story. It's really great.
Yeah, and even when they do close-ups on it, you can see the ripple of the skin, mm-hmm. and it actually looks like a tattoo.
Yeah.
If you have a tattoo.
And that's a big part of Polynesian culture.
Oh, absolutely.
And they even showed, like, the ancient technique of getting tattooed when they were in the village.
Yep.
And I thought that was really interesting as someone who's obsessed with tattoos. Mm-hmm. I really liked that, you know, callback to, like, hey, this was something that you earned, and it's a story, and the fact that Maui has it is just even more fun because they're so imaginative with it. It's really great.
It reminds me, the tattoos remind me and how they interact with him a little bit about Krunk and his angel and his devil.
Yeah.
They remind me a little bit about that. Just kind of trying to sway him.
Yeah,
you know,
the Maui and his tattoos definitely, it has a sense of being kind of a moral center, kind of a Jiminy
right.
Cricket on your shoulder type.
Yep.
Conscience. Definitely.
Yeah. And so he's tattooed with all the stories of all the things that he has done for humans.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those are, I don't know, when I did my research and finding them, some of them could have been embellished. Some of them could have mm-hmm. been just put there for the story. It sounds like they took some initiative and had to just add things where it was important to move the story or to add
yeah,
to
or
the
to
song.
Build the story. They kind of build the story mm-hmm. around the actual legend. And I know
right.
that you researched a lot of the actual yeah. legend.
There are two consistent stories that people say is true to the mythology and
of Maui, yeah.
of Maui, and that one of them is hauling up the islands, which he does mention in the story
mm-hmm.
And in the song. I guess he goes fishing with his brothers and he finds his fish hook on the bottom of the ocean.
Like you do.
Like you do. I would like a
magical
fish
hook as well.
Yep. And then he continues going fishing with the fish hook and he uses it to create his brothers as the several islands.
Huh.
Yeah. But they become the Hawaiian islands.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I don't know how he's supposed to use them, but it says he uses his brothers as the islands to make the islands.
And maybe you can kind of see that reflected in Nefiti, mm-hmm. because Nefiti is kind of this goddess who brings life to the islands.
Right.
And she is very humanoid in her...
And her
appearance
yeah.
when she is in that form. So that could definitely be kind of a throwback to maybe that's what they're reflecting in that.
I think so.
Especially because Nefiti is not a real mythological character.
No, correct? She's not. No, she doesn't exist. She doesn't exist in the Polynesian mythology. There is a goddess of fire, lightning, wind, and volcanoes called Pele, which I think is probably where they were getting the, you know, the bad guy, Taka.
Mm-hmm.
But... yeah, she doesn't really exist.
And
they
she
just kind of added her, which
yeah.
is fine.
She kind of also reminded me of the short Lava that Disney did.
Yes.
Definitely where the volcano islands are anthropomorphized. And the female one definitely has some similar features, maybe,
sure.
to Fiti.
Right. And then the other story that seems to be pretty true to
mm-hmm.
the mythology is that he... restrains the sun and he brings it down. Yeah, he does it to help his mother, but to also help all the mortals get their work done.
That makes sense.
Because one of the big differences between the legends of Maui
mm-hmm.
and what they did in the story is Maui was an orphan.
Yes, that was a big departure. He had no family.
Right, he had no family. But in mythology, he has parents,
brothers,
mom. And again, he's considered a demigod in most of the legends,
mm-hmm.
but he's often described as a son of god, Tangoria, and a mortal woman, making this parentage the key difference between Polynesian legends and the Disney version. So,
for sure. And I think that, I mean, they kind of reflect that in that his tattoo only shows a woman
yeah.
getting rid of him. So maybe that is, you know, part
right.
of it. But I really like the difference between this Maui and the Maui of mythology.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how they made him so unlikable at first, even though
oh
he
God,
ends
right.
up becoming the best. I mean, in my opinion, the best part of the movie.
Right.
I think that it's so great that you see him. He can be cowardly
mm-hmm.
and he's self-centered and he doesn't really care about what happens to Moana at first. And I think that was really great to kind of show that, you know, character arc.
Right.
And I think that it's almost true to life as to how celebrities can be like,
yes.
well, everyone tells me I'm great and I've been mm-hmm. stuck on this island, so I assume everybody still thinks
right.
I'm great.
Right. And not to say, because there are things, you know, she said, you know, he has done a lot of things
mm-hmm.
for humans, and yet he does a lot of them so that he can be kind of worshipped.
Yes, he definitely, you can definitely tell that he does things to... get fame or be worshipped or, you know, be famous.
Mm-hmm.
And taking the heartstone of Nefiti is just kind of the ultimate symbol that you've crossed a line.
Right.
To where that is no longer about anyone but yourself.
Yep.
And what could humans possibly do with this stone, you know?
Well, exactly.
It brings life, so taking it is obviously not going to end well.
Well, and that's the thing, that the general theme throughout... all the legends and how, you know, that he's been described throughout the years is, you know, he's powerful, he can be heroic, but he's often reckless.
He's kind of like a trickster.
Ooh.
He's almost like a Loki-ish character.
He is. Yeah.
He's like the Loki of Polynesian legends.
I get down with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
But yeah, because they both kind of have that, you know, they can turn into different creatures and they both have magic. And he has this fish hook, which is the magic. But I also, moving on to like kind of supporting characters in this story, Temuera the Crab is fantastic.
Okay, first of all,
Jemaine Clements.
Come at me. Uh-huh. So good.
He cannot do any wrong in my eyes. He's just so hilarious and so talented with what he does.
Mm-hmm. Just his songwriting ability, the way that he makes the character kind of sleazy, but not
almost dorky in his sleaziness.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that he's just singing a song. But even if you're not watching the animation or his face, you can tell exactly what, like, weird look he would have on his face.
Yeah.
Yes, I loved his song, mm-hmm. Shiny.
It's
so stupid, but so good.
Right. And you know what's really cool about this movie that I hadn't really thought of until just now that you brought up Temuera? There are lots of little villains throughout this whole movie. Mm-hmm. There's the Kakamora, who are the little coconut guy gang pirate things that are amazing. There's, you know, Temuera. There's Taka.
Mm-hmm.
There are multiple obstacles that she has to move through. Is even Maui.
Mm-hmm.
Maui's villainish in certain aspects when she first meets
him.
So there's definitely not just one central villain to this.
There's definitely an Odyssey type feeling that you have to go through several trials to complete your mission. And I really liked that they didn't have a simple story like that.
No.
I liked that there were multiple things in her way. I liked that a lot of the times she failed the first time that she tried to get through.
Yep.
And I think that them learning to work together and then her just perseverance is really what saves the day. And I think that that's really a great lesson that for kids that are watching that, like, the first time she went up against the coconut guys didn't go so well.
No.
But she went back and then she got what she needed. You know, she's brave and strong and
she persevered.
I loved her. Yeah.
Well, if you read anything, interviews about anybody who's been successful, I mean,
things don't just fall into your lap.
They don't.
You don't have a story where this bad thing happened to you, you set out, you fixed it, and then you're happy ever after. And I think that this was a really fun story because even when she goes home at the end, you know that there's still going to be issues as far as her becoming chief, as far as her.
Yeah. She left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know,
even though she kind of guides her people to be seafaring again, there's still an essence where you're going to have to be the leader of these people.
Right.
And you're going to have to come to an understanding with your father, who is the chief now, and
how
that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. While it's a happy ending and story, there's always going to be that underline where she might want to go off on her own, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to necessarily want to voyage all the time.
Yeah. I do love the last scene, though, where they're all setting off on this voyage and that music swells.
Oh.
It's so good. The music in this film is just so beautiful and entertaining, and it has this sense of adventure to it and authenticity to the culture that it's representing.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Lin-Manuel Miranda said that it's really important that when you're making a movie that you're going to show the world, that's going to represent this culture that not a lot of people get access to.
Right.
You have to know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You have to work with people who know the culture, and you have to represent it proudly and accurately.
Yeah, or else you're just appropriating the culture.
Exactly. And I know that he was really a big Disney fan. He first got into Disney when he saw The Little Mermaid, actually, because of the Calypso scene.
Sure.
With Sebastian, because that was kind of his culture's music, because he's from Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And
it's very Caribbean.
Yeah, very Caribbean. So he automatically was hooked on music after that. So Disney was his introduction to music. So it's interesting to see him come back after being this big success on Broadway and say, I want to go do this. This is what I want to do next. He could have done anything. And he was like, Disney wants me to do a film. I will do a film for Disney.
Right.
So I think that was so sweet.
Sweet. It's really sweet. And it's so important to get the music right and to get the
do
culture
your research,
right. Do your research. You know, this isn't based off of a fable. So you could they could have easily gone the lazy route.
Yeah, definitely. You could have Americanized the songs. You could have made them poppy, you know. Yeah. And they didn't do that. And it's really important because this is a culture that's very much still with us. Like this culture is still very proud and has a long heritage. And if you go to the Hawaiian Islands,
they're beautiful.
Beautiful. For one.
Yeah.
But that culture is very much there.
Yes, you will it is. See, it absolutely is.
Like the Samoan culture is what Polynesian culture is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll have the traditional tattoos and they'll know what they mean. And they have, you know, luaus and they have tribal dances.
Yep.
And it is not something to be appropriated.
Right. I mean, it's they've definitely, while there's still a lot of tourism around.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They do it in more of an educational form, and they've been able to hold on to that a lot longer than I feel like, you know, the Indians within the 48 states have been able to do.
Yeah,
you know, it's been a lot harder for them. I don't think they've been able to hold on to it. There hasn't been probably as big of an interest. I mean, people want to go to Hawaii because it's beautiful.
Yeah, and they didn't have so much the reservationist culture,
right,
that we had here, which has been really hard for the Native Americans in the 48.
Right. Well, and plus Hawaii wasn't made a state for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So that probably has a lot to do with it.
It wasn't part of that whole expansion into the West.
Right.
Yes, definitely. So it's still a very strong, proud religion. And the fact that they took that time and did that research and worked with people who have that background was very important. And I think that bringing on Mark Mancina, who had worked on Lion King, the fact that they brought him on, who had such a background with tribal, indigenous, historic, and spiritual music, was a really smart move as well, on top of bringing in the Polynesian musician, who they worked very closely with.
Yeah, they made sure all their bases were covered, and that's what you do if you want to get something right.
Exactly.
And, you know, talking about the Polynesian culture, there was, before the movie came out and there were pictures of everything, there when you saw Maui as very big, the one thing that was controversial is that in the legends of Maui, he's kind of slim. He's kind of coming of age. He's a young man, like a top knot on his head. He's not the big mass
that Maui is.
And they said that they made him a hulking figure mostly because they weren't trying to perpetuate this idea that Polynesians are overweight, because there definitely is that stereotype. But they wanted to make him bigger and intended him to be like large and heroic, kind of like a Superman, kind of like The Rock.
Exactly. And that character, it makes sense once you see the movie, because his skin is a tapestry that tells a story. There's a whole musical number where they're kind of in the skin designs. So I think that that served well, and that it had to be a certain size so that when you're looking at him on screen, you can tell very clearly what's on his shoulder blade or what's on his neck.
Because they said they definitely added way more tattoos onto his body than, you know, what they usually depict him as having.
But it had such a storytelling element to it.
Right.
And there was a reason behind it. It wasn't just like, I think that Samoan people are overweight, so I'm going to make him a big fat guy. Like, that wasn't the case. And he was strong, and he was agile, and he was a warrior. And it was just, he was a bigger guy to fit this artwork and to, again, like you said, depict him as strong and athletic.
And I can see how people would be irritated by that. I mean, I definitely could see, you know, that you don't want to perpetuate a stereotype. And hopefully that now that people have seen the movie, it won't feel like that.
And I think it's also important to have different body types.
Sure.
I think that not everybody needs to have this tiny waist and the muscular shoulders. I think that to be a strong guy is to be a strong guy. And it doesn't matter if you're shorter or stockier or whatever.
Right.
I think that every body type has a place in Disney, especially going forward. You know, Moana,
absolutely.
I like that they took her features down a little bit. She wasn't so doe-eyed like Rapunzel.
She doesn't have, I mean, they've definitely been better about women and not being bigger chested or anything like that. But one thing that people were saying that was irritating was, you know, everybody had that little, all the women had these little button nose.
Yeah.
She still has a little nose, but it's wider.
Yeah.
They definitely changed it a little bit. I still felt like she looked a lot like Tangled, like Frozen. I still got a lot of that feeling, which kind of bugged me.
It's hard because there is this Disney style of animation.
Right. Yeah.
But you do need to kind of, I think they took her eyes down a bit. They weren't quite as large. They were still large and almond shaped.
Right.
But they did have a little bit wider nose. They did have, you know, they depicted her not as elegant sometimes, mm-hmm. like when she's waking up, kind of like they did with Anna and Frozen.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I liked her design. I liked that she had bigger mm-hmm. thighs. I liked that she was muscular, but she was also agile, so she had to be thinner, you mm-hmm. know? So I felt like everything they did with her design as far as the body shape made sense.
Yeah, the shape.
I believe the facial features still need some work.
Yeah.
Definitely that.
Yeah.
The other thing that really... The only thing about this movie that I really was kind of like, eh, was Heihei.
Really? You didn't like Heihei?
No, he was so annoying.
But little kids loved Heihei.
But you could have used Pua. Pua was so much cuter.
Pua was so cute. But Pua was cute. Pua wasn't necessarily funny. Heihei was...
You could have made Pua funny.
You could have made Pua funny. I just liked Heihei. Okay, so Heihei's the chicken.
Yes.
If you're still listening and you haven't seen it. And Pua is the pig. The pig is adorable.
So cute.
I like Heihei mostly because he has my last name twice as his name. I also like Heihei because his eyes don't ever match.
They're always crocodile.
They're like chameleon eyes.
My thing was like, it was fun. I felt like he was funny at first, but it's the same thing over and over over again. So I felt like and I get it. He's a stupid chicken and he doesn't understand anything.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm just like, I would have freaking kicked this bird off the boat by now.
Heard here, folks. Oh, my gosh.
Not really, but, you know, like, seriously. He just did not do it for me. But other than that, I did love this movie.
I thought Heihei was hilarious. It did get a little old. I think that probably happens with most Disney movies. There's always one character that I'm a bit meh on. And, mm-hmm. again, I think it was definitely playing up to that. Little kid.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there were little kids laughing every time he did something stupid.
That is very true. That is very true.
Kids don't care. That's the same thing. Kids will watch you hit yourself 50 times and laugh just as hard every single time, which is probably why Heihei did the same stupid stuff.
Yeah, it's a Three Stooges mentality.
It is. It's very slapsticky, old school comedy. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I didn't mind Heihei. I almost cried at the part where she basically, like, lets Taka come to her and she starts singing that song, I Know Who You Are.
Mm-hmm.
Or Know Who You Are.
I almost cried twice in this movie. That part, and then when the grandmother passes away.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Then and then you see the big stingray come out.
Manatee.
Whoever designed that stingray.
Okay, it's a manatee.
Okay, whoever designed that manta ray. Whoever designed that manta ray gets so much credit from me. It was so gorgeous and simple, and it just elevated that film. I don't know what it was about the character, but it was one of my favorite shots of the entire film.
Did you ever see Life of Pi?
No.
So there's a part in it. I think the reason that you liked it so much was because it's the only time you've seen it, but it's that bioluminescence mm-hmm. that the manta ray is flaring out, and it's a beautiful scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
Life of Pi, that happens with a whale. It looks like it comes out in the dark and it just lights up the whole ocean, and it's breathtaking. It mm-hmm. is beautiful. So I totally know what you're feeling because I felt that the first time I saw Life of Pi. Also, just she turns into this manta ray that she had tattooed on her back.
Yes.
And it looks exactly like mm-hmm. her tattoo. It has all the tribal markings on it.
That's why I loved it so much, is that it was so plain and evident what it was immediately.
Like, right.
You got it. You don't have to get it explained. Mm-mm. It was just so perfect.
Yeah, it was really pretty.
Yeah. So what would you rate the film out of 5 Mickey heads?
Okay, I would rate it. I'm going to do 4. I'm going to do 4.
Copycat.
We're usually pretty close.
Yeah.
I would do 4. I really liked the music. I like the music more and more that I listen to it. The design, their hair, the water was flawless. The adventure of her being, she was going to be a chief
mm-hmm.
and her really coming over all these odds, like you said, the Odyssey. I mean, not having a specific villain was great. Maui, who's this kind of anti-hero but mm-hmm. kind of a hero. There's so many great parts to it. I have to give it a 4. I don't know if it pulls on me as much as some of the other ones that I've seen, but it's pretty flawless.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really good. I'd probably give it more if I'd seen it more. How about you?
I would give it a 4. My reasoning is somewhat the same. I felt like they could have developed Moana more. I think that she's a great character, and what the situations that they put her in were great.
Agreed.
But I feel like her personality took a backseat to her journey, and I wish she would have had a little bit more personality.
Yeah.
Also, Hey Hey did not do it for me. So those two things are the only reason it gets a 4 and not like a 4.5 or 5.
Well, like a good example of her personality is when she whispers, you know, like, hey, in his ear to show like people cheering for him. I would have liked to see more of that.
Exactly. Like a little bit more playfulness, a little bit more development before she's on this journey.
Yep.
Definitely was kind of one of my issues. Hey Hey was the other, just because I couldn't. I was like,
you just want to see more Pua.
I do. She's so cute.
She is so cute.
But yeah, I really enjoyed the film. The music's top notch. I agree. The more I listen to it, the more I like it.
Yep.
At first, there were some songs where I was like, it's okay. And then the more I hear it and more I get into the instrumentals behind it, so great.
Yeah.
And Jemaine Clement is amazing. The rock singing was completely unexpected treat for me.
Uh-huh.
God, and the water was so great. You're right. The water was just so animated, and they made it anthropomorphic, and it's just like, how do you do that to water? But they did it really well.
Yeah.
All the tribal influence of the design of the clothes, of the even like
her chief hat,
her chief hat, the necklace, you know, has these small details that just make it a Disney film.
Yep.
Like that give the reason these take so long to make is because everything has a point,
right? And it
I
should
think that was great. Yeah,
and that's how you do it. That's how you do one correctly.
I will say also, I loved the coconuts. What were they called?
Kakamoras.
The Kakamora, but they were a little bit random.
Oh, super random.
Like, you had no idea where they came from.
No.
And then they disappeared as soon as you defeated them.
Yeah.
And you never heard about them again.
No.
Which was, they were delightful, don't get me wrong. But it was kind of like, does anybody want to tell me what they were, what they wanted?
Yeah,
what
even, even some hint for Maui to say, oh, they, well, he did say
something. He did say they wanted the stone.
They wanted the stone.
But you don't know why the Kakamora would want the stone. They're little coconut people.
Because I guess it's the same reason probably that Tamora would want the stone. Like that everything would want the stone.
Well, yeah. It's a question. So that leaves me a little bit like, okay, that's cute. But for our craft this week, we're not necessarily doing a craft, but we're going to let you do a craft because Disney set up this awesome thing where you can make your own Kakamora.
Yeah, it's super cute. And if you make one, please share it so
we
can see what you
make. Yes, we
want to
see everybody's creations.
Yeah. I have to side note that probably my favorite line is Jemaine. And when she makes the fake stone and then he holds it up, he goes, oh, I see what you've done. You've broken open a something shell and he fills it with bioluminescence. It's just so random and
it's
perfect.
So great, yes. I agree. That was one of the best scenes. And I was expecting that to be a little bit silly and it was silly, but
it
in
was.
Like the best way.
Right. Yeah, it was. Now that you say it, there's a lot of loosey-goosiness. Even when he goes and gets his hook, you're kind of, why is it down there? We just did it fall.
Yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like, it's a fun journey. It's a great adventure film. It's a great film for kids, especially girls. I just loved it, and I think that it's such, despite being a quote-unquote princess film, this is equally enjoyable for boys and girls.
Absolutely.
Like, across the line. And sometimes you definitely, like, with Rapunzel and stuff, obviously that's more, like,
it's
Tangled.
More
that's
feminine.
More of a feminine movie.
Right.
Even though I know little boys who like it.
Absolutely, yeah.
But this one is very much, like, middle of the road. Anyone, any age group, any sex will love that movie.
Totally. It's a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Go see it if you haven't.
Definitely. I mean, as always, we want to thank Fancy Pants Gangsters for having us on their network.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely check out the other shows. They have great shows on food, on
music.
They have a great sci-fi voice drama that's really fun.
Lots of good stuff.
Yes.
And make sure you're following us on all the social medias, Facebook, Twitter,
Instagram.
Yep. We post things intermittently on all of them. We try to post something every day. Roughly all of them.
And definitely check out babesofwonderland.com that has more in-depth articles that we'll create.
Yep.
Has more details about the shows, about things we've done surrounding the shows.
News.
Yep, definitely.
And, you know, make sure you're subscribing on you know, Stitcher, iTunes, or Spreaker. Mm-hmm. It's easier.
It's so easy to just have it ready for you.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. right there. Don't have to think about it.
Exactly.
We just pop up.
Just load up.
Like daisies.
Okay, Mushu.
Thank you.
Thank you again for listening. We're so excited to share Moana with you. Mm-hmm. So timely. And we hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yep.
See you next time.
Bye.